listener production. We're the sneaky cinnamon scroll you just have to have. Even though you already ate a big breakfast with extra hash browns and three coffees,
you'll eat until you explode.
It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Yes, here it is, the podcast with myself, Alex Dyson, and the most toxic person in the Australian radio industry, Mr. Matt O'Kine. Hello, Matt.
Oh, mate, it's a miracle that I still get to work every single day, especially with the likes of, obviously, the saint of radio when you're not showing the side of you that does love to rant. This is obviously a little joke, mind you. Well, I hope it is, Alex Dyson, that you're playing on our listeners.
No,
I'm not perfect, but I don't know if I'm the most toxic.
No, I'm sure there's a few radioactive beasts floating around this industry. But no, Amy Schumer put on her Instagram. I think she liked the movie Cruella, starring Emma Stone as Cruella De Vil. But I think because she's so nice in real life, Emma Stone made a joke, the most toxic person, Emma Stone. Then everyone's like, oh my God, she's calling Emma Stone toxic. What's she done, or how dare she? And so there's your little Instagram story controversy for one day, Matt O'Kine.
Yeah, that's it. Be careful what you joke about. It's not easy to read sarcasm in a tweet or a story.
Yeah, it's like that time I think I told you when I was hosting the Collingwood AFLW Best and Fairest, and I welcomed the person who was going to be awarding the leading goal kicker, who happened to be Lyndon Dunn, a defender for Collingwood. I'm like, I thought to myself before I got up there, oh, that's quite funny. They got a defender awarding the highest goal kicker. I'll make a joke of this as I introduce him. I get up and go, and there's no better person to present this than Lyndon Dunn. Welcome to the stage. And he gets up and goes, Alex, I don't know about that because I'm actually a defender. But I'm standing in the back by this stage. And so I can't walk up and push him aside and go, yeah, I know that. That was the point of the joke. I have to sit there and look like an ignorant fool.
Someone didn't do his research, eh?
Exactly. I knew it too well, though. And anyway, absolute disaster. But yeah, let's hope there's not too much subtle sarcasm through today's show as we dip through. Although it's always a danger when you're chatting to Becky Lucas.
Absolutely. Speaking of kicking goals, Becky Lucas has just been smashing it out of the ballpark with everything that she touches.
I think they have mixed sporting metaphors there, though, Matt. Unless you're being sarcastic. Are you deliberately mixing those sporting analogies?
Gee, don't you get my meta humor? Her book, Acknowledgements, is out now. So we're very excited to be chatting to Becky Lucas about stories of friends, enemies, and figuring things out.
That's it. It's All Day Breakfast. Let's get stuck in.
Let's go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
Matt and Alex, All Day Breakfast.
Alex Dyson, I noticed the most disgusting thing on the weekend. And look, I should probably preface this with a squirmy warning.
I know.
I really mean it.
Serious when the squirmy warning comes out.
It really shocked me. Okay, so I noticed for the first time how much hair is in shopping trolley wheels. It is revolting. Like, next time, I promise you, go to the shopping center. Next time you go to the shops, just look at not just one shopping trolley wheel, all of them. They all have their own little goatees. Like, it's absolutely revolting, right?
But yeah. When you pick up after you've been vacuuming for a while, at least at my house, you pull out a bunch of hair at the front, like it gathers around.
There's so much hair.
All of that in the wheels. But they're the people who live in your house, so it's a bit better.
Exactly.
At the shops, it is any old grub who's been wandering the aisles.
Well, it's just always stuck there. But I mean, and I'm no better. Like, I mean, you should see the bathroom sink after I've had a shower, especially after I've washed my hair. Woo-wee. It has got quite the curls, the old drain. But I only bring it up because I was chatting to someone just last week. Sophia has just hit the age where she is like starting to become obsessed with things. And she's absolutely obsessed with Bluey.
Oh, okay. And I was going to say K-pop, but probably not that age yet.
She hasn't listened to any K-pop yet. Emma from The Wiggles, she was obsessed with for a while.
K-pop is great, but I tell you what, few people get pretty obsessed.
Oh, yeah. But also, like, yeah, so you start noticing how much of certain things are around the place, you know, to entice people in. So Bluey, you know, we had to buy her some Bluey pants recently because she just loves Bluey. It was on the
and
shopping
screen.
And she
sees the pants walking past and she's like, I need them.
Well, you go, we need to buy some pants. What are you going to buy? And then she sees, like, I want the Bluey ones. There's no way that she's not going to not get the Bluey ones.
How deep is the Bluey branding going now? Because these things can get extremely random.
Well, I was
Bluey
thinking about
Bluey desk lamp or something. Like a...
Dude, well, okay, this is a complete side note, all right? The reason why I brought it up is a completely different story. It's because I was talking to a friend who, when I did that sort of, I talked to some young kids about my book and they were sort of bringing up Bluey, right? They're about 12, but obviously they know Bluey and I kind of was like, oh, you know Bluey's dad, you know who that is, right? And they were like, no. And I was like, Dave McCormack from Custard. And they were like, that literally means nothing to us.
And they started singing Girls Like That to you.
And I was like,
as they said, I love Hottest 100 Volume 6.
I'm like, that's who I'm even mentioning the Custard in the book, I'm pretty sure, that I've written. And that's Bluey's dad, but they don't make any connection, right? And then the lady who was running the workshop goes, oh, funny story. This is what I was talking about here before. She's like, one day I was walking through the valley one night in Brisbane. I'm walking along. It's really busy. I get sort of bumped about in a bit of a crowd and try to walk through. And I walk past Dave McCormack from Custard and he's zipping up his jumper. And at the exact same time, her hair gets caught in his jumper as he pulls it up. And she's like, ah! He's like, what the hell's going on? And she's, her ponytail's just stuck in his jumper and they're like tangled up in the middle of this, in this scene in Brisbane. So,
Dave,
you know,
zipped a random woman's hair into his jumper.
I know, right? Oh, like, the odds of that even being possible are wild, right? So it didn't bring up the, where's your hair got stuck?
Got stuck. Yeah, right. Shopping trolley wheels and Dave McCormack's zipper. Jumper zipper.
There could be somewhere else. You never know. But it did make me think because yeah, you asked about Bluey and I was obsessed with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Absolutely obsessed. I had the socks, had the underpants, collected the coins from the newspaper, had the Ninja Turtle mobile, had Krang's lair, that had the eyeball.
I laugh because I don't even know what that is.
The eyeball that was on top of the lair and like you press a button and it rolls down a little ramp and like topples over all of the people.
Yeah.
I used to know sing the songs in the shower. I had all of their sort of fake weapons.
Well, which turtle were you? Because everyone had a favorite turtle.
I loved Michelangelo. He was the party dude, followed by Donatello. Then I guess
what colors though? I don't know which color represents
orange.
Which
Michelangelo, party dude. Donatello, inventive, purple one. Then Raphael, the sort of snide, snarky, angry one. And then my least favorite was blue, Leonardo, the responsible one. What a loser. Just let Michelangelo party for Pete's sake. Watch the videos would not stop watching the videos. Absolutely obsessed. Went to Los Angeles when I was 5 years old with my mum and my sister and just bought everything I could touch was Ninja Turtles.
So that
toothbrushes,
was your,
everything.
That was your poison. You just couldn't get enough.
What about you? What were you obsessed? Because I don't know much about little Alex Dyson. I know a lot about, you know, high school Alex Dyson. What about little kid Alex Dyson?
He was an enigma, little Alex Dyson. I never got into something at a crazy amount.
What?
You know? Yeah.
This is very disappointing, Alex. What, you were not obsessed with anything growing up?
I remember playing Ninja Turtles one time. I remember I'm thinking of young kids stuff. I remember I had a Mighty Max or two. You open up the the male Polly Pocket. You open it up and then the little Mighty Max runs around this lair of a gorilla or something like that. I had one. I remember the show Street Sharks. Watch that. There was biker mice. I mean,
what the hell?
Get an animal and make them do an extreme sport. That was 90s children's entertainment.
I was watching. We brought up the theme song for Samurai Pizza Cats yesterday. I was literally watching it, and I was like, "Wait a minute! Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Samurai Pizza Cats. This is the same thing. They're exactly the same thing."
Do you think we should start our own?
Biker mice from Mars. It's a subgroup. It's a subgroup, an animal, and they live somewhere, all right? So that's it. So it's like...
Do you know what this reminds me of?
What?
We've been looking for an Okine Dyson system for a while. we could get an online random children's TV show generator. You pick an animal, it picks a random place that they're from, and it gives them an extreme sport that they could do.
Tune in for another episode of Marvelous Ballet Bananas.
Bungee Parrots from Pluto.
That sounds good. Bron, what did you get into growing up?
I liked a lot of different crap now. I guess if you go by like my birthday cakes, when I was 3, I had a Dalmatian cake because I liked 101 Dalmatians.
Who made the cake?
My mum.
Oh, gosh.
Then when I was 8, I really liked the Powerpuff Girls, so I had a Bubbles cake. So like just a lot of TV shows.
Whatever the cake. And your mum made that as well?
Yeah, she loved making the cakes.
Did your mum make a cake every year?
Like up until a point. I think maybe when we were 10, it was like enough of that.
Oh, wow.
We got to pick what cake we wanted, mostly out of that Women's Weekly cookbook.
There's literally a Bluey episode exactly like that. The duck cake with the popcorn head.
Yeah,
and the chip.
With the chip lips.
The chip seek.
It's that in the Bluey episode.
And we come full circle. All right, well, let us know your poison, what were you obsessed with, and... let us know what should the next thing be, because I think if we come up with the best extreme animals TV show, Matt, we could get Marshy to put together a trailer and we could pitch it to a TV channel.
What about the angry podcasting iguanas? Oh yeah, when we get angry, we podcast. Is that what sound an iguana makes?
Scooter's Geese of the Amazon. I don't know.
Scooter Geese of the Amazon.
Let us know. I think it's a formula. You're right. It is a formula to get these things, Matt. And then get into selling pants, jocks, lunch boxes. You know, it's a money
Scooter
spinner.
Scooter Geese of the Amazon.
Coffee?
Yeah, coffee.
A seventh coffee never hurt anyone.
No, I feel a buzz.
Keeping juicy goss from me?
Do you know what's going on here?
We know what's going on.
You won't believe it.
Real juicy.
So let's just keep it on the down low, shall we?
Matt and Alex's Insiders.
Yes, it is a very interesting Insiders this week. One that we don't know much about because neither of us have... Well, have you been to jail? I know that...
No. No, I've been arrested a couple of times.
Put your arm
I've not been to jail.
Behind your back one time, but not actually been to jail, I was going to say.
I have not been. I've been to lockup a couple of times. No jail.
Okay, so this is interesting. This is the segment where we look at your jobs and get some people to jump on and tell us the inside goss from their profession. And this week, our insider is a parole officer.
Yes, it is a very good welcome to Anonymous. Our parole officer giving us the goss on what happens after you leave jail. How are you, Anonymous?
Hi, fellas. How are you going?
Pretty good, Anonymous. Thank you so much for chatting to us. I think first things first, what is a parole officer?
So a parole officer is someone that works with someone under a court community supervision order. So whether they've come out of jail and then they're having time on parole or whether they're coming straight from court to community supervision.
I mainly know parole officers from TVs and movies.
Yes.
As a parole officer, do you interact with the people who are on parole and do you talk to them? You meet face to face? Do you have coffee with them? Is it at the police station? Is it the office? What do you do when you're contacting your parolee?
People seem to think that we go out and have coffee and sort of meet them out in public, you know, shopping centres and have a chat. But instead we actually have a parole office, which is separate to the police. And they will come in and we sit directly across from each other in a meeting room, and we'll interact with them face to face.
Is there like a secret entrance to this parole office? Because I can imagine a lot of people wouldn't want to know that they're on parole.
They are, but they're usually in very public places, but just tucked away. So we need to make sure that people have access to, you know, public transport and that kind of thing. So if you have a look around shopping centres and, you know, your local sort of hubs, there tends to be a very small sign and a side door, that usually that's where we're located.
Wait, really? In like shopping centres, you go and try and find the toilet, you could walk into a parole office?
Sometimes, yeah.
That's so... I've never seen... I've spent a lot of time in shopping centres, all right? I have been an unemployed actor for many, many years, and I have wandered every hall of my locals, trust me. Never seen a parole office. So that's pretty interesting. It must be well hidden, but... And then when people go in, what do you sort of talk about? Are you sort of like... Is it like the movies where you sit them down and go, so, staying out of trouble... You know, or is it what happens?
It's brutally honest in that there's no sort of tiptoeing around awkward topics and that kind of thing with people. You've got to be delicate in how you approach it, but nothing's off limits.
So, like what?
Relationships, around their drug and alcohol use, around their family dynamics and that kind of thing. So, you become pretty skillful at it, but you know, in being tactful at it. But yeah, no topic can't really be discussed.
So, when someone's on parole, I know that they have to stay in around a certain area, but what else can a court order someone to do as part of their parole? Is it like not drink alcohol? Is it not go to the casino? What's the sort of things that you have to check that people are doing?
It really depends person to person, but the pretty common ones are, you know, that they can't travel interstate without permission. A lot of the time they can't change addresses, you can't change your name, and usually if there's any drug or alcohol related to their offending, they can't go into a licensed premises, they can't go to a casino, that kind of thing, or there may be particular suburbs or addresses that they're not allowed to attend.
I've heard is there curfews as well?
Yeah, curfews is another one. That's usually sort of your 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. And sometimes even not travelling or, you know, in a car with certain people and that kind of thing. So it really depends on the person. But you do start to see a lot of restrictions around, you know, shops and all kinds of things mixed in there depending on what their offending was.
So this person would sit across the desk from you and you have to ask them these questions. What percentage of people, in your opinion, would tell you the truth?
You get pretty good at reading people, definitely. There's a lot of impression management. You've got to remember that 90% of people that come through the door, you know, will tell you that they're innocent and have never done anything before in their life. So you get pretty good at kind of working your way through some of that. The other part is obviously everything they tell us, we then go and verify and do our collateral checks as well. So you do pick up on a lot of lies or mistruths that they try and sell you.
Mm-hmm. Do people ever bribe you?
You do get a lot of people making promises of, you know, if you look the other way this time, I swear I'll follow the rules next time kind of thing and do try and sell you. There's always a really good excuse. Everyone's car apparently has broken down and they were just 5 minutes away when someone came to check on their curfew. They were there 5 minutes later. If you had to come back, they would have been there, that kind of thing. Come around tonight. I promise I'll be there tonight, that kind of stuff.
Right, oh, wow. Basically, yeah, okay. They sound like my friends, really. Oh, sorry, couldn't hang out. Yeah, no, I was 5 minutes late. Yeah, no. Yeah. Do you ever get people trying to, you know, sneak past a drug test?
We do. You would be amazed the creative lengths that people will go to avoid a drug test. So I've had a couple of memorable ones over the years where we had this guy turn up that was in women's clothing and had makeup on and presented himself for a drug test, not realising that his female friend that he was trying to do a drug test for, that we had not only a photo of her, but also we have biometric fingerprinting. that needs to be completed before we do the drug test. So, yeah, he had come in dressed as his female friend to try and do a drug test for her. And the other one that we see is that people will actually purchase a fake penis online.
And, yeah, right.
Yeah,
I did an episode thing about this on in my show, The Other Guy, and people are like, that doesn't happen. It happens, right?
I promise you, it does happen, but it's always very obvious. Yeah,
because it's probably 12 inches long, and
and usually it's not a skin tone that is anything like the rest of their body. And,
so you need to observe the urination.
We do, yeah. So we do try and provide as much privacy as possible, but still making sure that, you know, the urine is coming from that individual. So
and it's not purple and vibrating.
I'm not gonna lie, that's not my favorite part of the job, but every now and then when you see, you know, a ridiculous fake penis coming out of someone's pants, it makes up for the rest of it.
Wait, okay, Anonymous, how do you inform them that you know? What words do you use?
I'll usually just ask straight out. I'll just say, you know, do you have a fake penis that you're using? and they'll deny it, and you'll say, I'm going to have to check. So you can either hand it over now, or I can, you know, take further action, kind of thing. And usually they quite sheepishly will hand it over.
And then they'll hand over like a pouch of urine as well that they've got strapped to them.
Yeah. So usually it's in a little bottle that they'll have strapped to their thigh. And then there's a cord, a tube that will connect from that bottle into a pump and then into, the fake device.
Wow, they've got the whole legs. Rig, hey?
Exactly. Yeah. You just hope you don't get into those situations on, like, movies where they go, this man's an imposter. Here, I'll pull off his wig. They start pulling the hair and the hair's not coming off. You just don't want to have that happening, Anonymous.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He's like, I've just got a swimsuit tan. Come on. I mean, it's not, of course it's a different color. Is there ever any relationships that you've heard of between officers and parolees?
Oh, man.
Not that I've ever heard
it's
of.
It's insiders, Alex. I mean, we've got to get the tea.
Yeah, you do sometimes hear it in the news. You definitely see lots of love triangles, but that's always between parolees rather than with any staff members.
Are there any blow-ups in the room? Like, have you had to sort of, you know, call someone in, get security involved?
Sometimes in the room, it's not so much that they're blowing up at you. It's just sometimes people will turn up and they're clearly under the influence of drugs. So you do need to remove yourself and have someone. Often we generally call ambulances more than we tend to have to call police to deal with situations with our staff. But we do see a lot of blow-ups in the reception area. So we have to sort of very carefully manage reporting days. So we're really aware of, you know, affiliation and, motorcycle clubs and that kind of thing, and making sure that people don't report on the same day where there may be those sorts of issues. But the biggest issue we have for us as far as blow-ups in the office is actually usually between family members. So you won't know that people are related and, you know, and two cousins or something will bump into each other in the waiting room, and the next minute you've got, you know, it's on for everyone. So,
oh my god,
seeing that a few times.
Oh my gosh! Oh, wow. And what about you? Because you must make some pretty big decisions in terms of, you know, letting people know that they have broken their curfews or they have broken their restrictions, and that they will be having to go back to jail or they will be going to jail as a consequence. Do people ever threaten you? Do you ever fear for your safety?
I haven't had anything in a few years. I think, it can be difficult at times, and really it's about just, I think, wherever you can, being transparent with people and letting them know why we've made the decision that we have. And the way that we do that is that the expectations and the conditions of their orders, explained to them from the very beginning. So, you know, there's no surprises when, you know, then they're pulled up on some of their behaviour. But yeah, wherever possible, you know, you're not on Facebook under your real name. You're not making sure that, you know, your surname's showing on your ID card or anything like that. You do need to be cautious just in case.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like a super challenging job, but extremely rewarding in those instances where you say you can help these people reintegrate. Anonymous, thank you so much for telling us all about the life of a parole officer. We appreciate it so much. And we wish you all the best. Thanks for listening to All Day Breakfast.
Thanks, guys.
And if you would like to let us know the inside goss of your own profession, please get in touch at matt.and.alex.
Order up. Just how you like it.
Perfect.
All Day Breakfast.
Now, Matt O'Kine, you and I have had a long-standing policy here at All Day Breakfast and potentially throughout our lives, you know, both of us. You know, we're renegades, we're rebels. And one thing that I think we've both got tattooed on us is F the haters. You know, it's sort of a philosophy of ours for the most part. But I think we've got to put a little...
I actually hate tattoos as well, so it's kind of it was difficult for me to get that, but yeah.
Yeah. I do think we need to tattoo a little asterisk on the side of this and say F the haters unless they have a very good point.
Yeah.
Which...
Well, it's F the haters, but embrace the positive criticismers.
Exactly. A robust dialogue is always encouraged here at Matt and Alex. And you can always message us at any time with any qualm, matt.and.alex on Instagram, as Katie has done. Katie says, "All right, Matt and Alex, this could even go to Bron. I am done. I have been an avid listener and I have a bone to pick.
Uh-oh.
When you think of the most annoying sounds in the world, what comes to mind? Baby crying? Nails on the corkboard? You would be wrong. I'm writing to you today to please, please take that effing horrible kettle whistle off the effing podcast."
Ouch.
How was this ever passed? Did someone wake up and decide they wanted to ruin eardrums every day?
Oh.
Yours sincerely, get effed, Katie.
Wow.
And I
Katie
believe,
calling the kettle whack. That's full on.
I believe they're referring to this sound.
Okay. Yeah, I hear. Look, it's not an orchestra, is it? It's not a beautiful sound. It's not you know, it's someone playing the xylophone softly. I mean, it's something to let you know. It's supposed to be an alarm, Alex.
And it's also not the first time that people have had issue with this particular sound. So, you know, the All Day Breakfast team have got together and we've had a bit of a brainwave. Yeah. Why don't we put in the middle of the All Day Breakfast podcast when we're jumping between segments, why shouldn't we just put the best sounds in between instead of what we're currently doing, the worst?
So we hit you up on @matt.n.alex, asking you, what do you think the best sounds are? You know, for me, Alex Dyson, for me, one of my favorite sounds in the whole world. Okay, picture this. You're Sonic the Hedgehog. It's level 4, Labyrinth. You're underwater. You're running out of air. It's going boom, 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 boom. You see a giant air bubble floating up from the ground. You jump and eat it and it goes whoop, whoop. That is a good sound.
That was Matt making that live as well. That sounded like someone had pressed the button and put it in. That was good work, bro.
Well, it goes around in my head all the time.
Well, we did ask you what the best one is. A few texts coming through. Jamie and Ben saying, opening a cold tinny after work. Great sound.
Oh.
Hang on.
Oh, hello. Oh, do we need the sip in there as well? I don't know if we needed the sip.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the best tinny crack of all time either. I think we can find a better tinny crack for going for that one. A bit of rain on roof getting mentioned. MC and Taylor on that.
Oh, yeah. Lying in bed, the covers up to your chin. Oh, I don't know who's beeping outside. Who the hell was that?
The Uber driver coming to pick you up to head into the city. That's what that one is. But we've also got a couple of calls as well. Elise, hello.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good. Thank you, Elise. Now, what do you think is one of the best sounds?
Probably my top fave is the classic pool splash.
So not like a belly whacker, but just like a nice dive-in splash.
Okay, here we go. Oh, that sounded like a belly flop, honestly.
Yeah, but I got to say, whilst the belly whacker isn't the best sound, I think the sound that goes immediately after, which is everyone gathered around the pool going, ooh,
ooh.
That is one of the best sounds.
Any other sounds, Elise?
Yeah, kookaburras. Also
ooh,
a fake.
Really?
Yeah. I guess some people might find them annoying, but I really like it. So maybe that's a bit divisive.
Oh, the sounds of Australia.
Maybe not that many kookaburras at once. Maybe just like two.
Just a solo. Yeah, okay. Just two mate kookaburras having a laugh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty good. Thank you very much for your suggestion, Elise.
Yeah, thanks, Elise.
No worries.
We've also got Sam joining us, long-time listener, first-time caller. G'day, Sam.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks, Sam. Yeah, good, fan of your podcast, What Shall We Do About? So you listening, if you want to head to another potty, you can listen to Sam's podcast, What Shall We Do About? But what's the sound that you like?
Mine's a bit strange, but I swear by it. When you're at the supermarket and you're trying to find a capsicum, if you tap the side of the capsicum, it makes a really amazing sound.
Ooh, like a bit of a hollow sort of duh, boom.
Yeah, exactly, and you know, it's almost like a drum, really. It's hollow on the inside, really soft on the outside, and I kind of feel like I'm not going to pick a capsicum, only for the way it looks. I've got to go for what it sounds like too.
Wow, so it's what's on the inside as well. Okay, so wait. Sorry, Bron. Bron's just given us a little point, as in we have this sound available. Is that what we have?
Did we get this sound from the internet, or did Marshy go down to the shops and get a capsicum?
I've got no idea what's happened, but Marshy has somehow got this sound. I don't know what we're about to hear.
Okay, here we go.
Wow, that's almost using the capsicum as the sound effect on Monty Python the Holy Grail to gallop horses with.
Did that do it for you, Sam?
I don't believe it's a capsicum. It's too big. That is one big capsicum.
Oh, what? Are you seriously? Are you calling out our authenticity here on this show? You calling us liars, Sam?
No. But I know the capsicums. It doesn't sound like one.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay, well, we're going to have to question Marshy. Is Marshy here? Can we get Marshy in?
Marshy's just walking into the studio to explain himself.
Okay, he's either gonna really throw it down to you, Sam, or he's going to have to apologise to the nation for trying to fool us all. All right, here we go.
I feel very attacked by this whole segment. In an act of revenge, I might make every interstitial in tonight's episode the kettle.
Yeah, you are the audio producer. You do an incredible job. You put so many amazing packages together for us.
Oh, not that many kookaburras. That doesn't sound like a capsicum. Bugger off.
Sorry, uh-oh. Marshy.
But how did you get a capsicum tapping sound? Have you already got that in your library?
Well, I can only assume it was from YouTube. It was ASMR of some nerd who tapped a capsicum. He said he was, but there wasn't vision. So, blame him.
Well, wow. This is really, I love it. I love it so much. Thank you very much for your hard work, Marshy. Thank you, Sam, for bringing us new sounds that some people might not be familiar with. I know for sure next time I'm in, you know, the fruit and veg section, I'll be drumming that old red cap like a bongo.
No, just soft taps, just soft taps.
Oh, sorry, gently, of course.
We can't be doing that because people are already squeezing the avos. They're already sampling the grapes. I can't be going in this COVID unsafe environment. People tapping caps. We can't
like
be doing
the,
it.
The djembe, a boom boom under the arm, a boom 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 boom. Hey Sam, thanks heaps, mate. Congrats on the podcast. What should we do about?
Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll keep an ear out because the Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast podcast interstitials could be getting a whole lot ASMR. Now, Matt O'Kine, most authors these days are too scared and they hide their acknowledgements at the very end of the book in a paragraph or two of a little bit of soppy stuff just tucked away where no one can see it. Only one author, to my knowledge, has been brave enough to make the acknowledgements the entire thing. And that author joins us on the show right now. Comedian, podcaster, Becky Lucas. Hello.
Hey, guys. I've never been called a podcaster before.
You do a That's podcast, exciting. Don't you?
I do a podcast, but, like, I've never had that label. I've never been bestowed that title. It's kind of exciting.
Well, not a problem. What labels have you been given over the years?
Bitch. Yeah, stuff like that.
You're quite ratty as well, you know, that
yeah,
Alex
I'm a
Dyson's.
Rat. Well, I was talking about this the other day about how, like, I think so much of your, like, in life, your physicality dictates your place in the world. And, like, I think I look quite rat-like and annoying. And so to combat kind of looking like an annoying person, I've had to try and be funny or try and prove that I'm not annoying. And I was talking to another friend and she was like, yeah, I think I have that too. And I was too quick. I was like, yeah, you do. You look annoying as well. But and she does. But she's not. She's great. She's so great.
It can really, like, these sort of games can kind of annoy people because I remember my Belinda, my partner, was like, so we were talking about this at work. What if you were a biscuit, what sort of biscuit would you be? And she says, like, and she was like, what biscuit would I be? And I was like, oh, iced Vovo. She's like, what? That's literally the worst thing you could say. I was like, I don't know. I was just saying a biscuit. You kind of seem Vovo-ish. I don't know.
I think iced Vovos are delicious. Well, and yeah, I agree. Nice. I think your partner is like pretty. It's pretty. It's yummy. There's different textures. Like, it's actually really, like, flattering.
I thought it was a good. I mean, I put my hand up as a Tim Tam straight up, but
Tim Tam genie.
I reckon you're like a TV snack or something, Becky. That's what you. That's what.
Yeah, like there's just all there's a, it's a there's a it just never stops. Like,
Alex Dyson, I think, is an arrowroot, a milk arrowroot. That's what I think you are.
Come on, mate. Come on,
mate.
Mean.
That's mean.
Sue, that's really offensive.
What?
Bro.
I think that's.
We played a similar game the other day when we said, what herb would you be? And I said to my boyfriend, like, you'd be coriander because, like, some people love it and it's great, but some people really don't like it.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, coriander is a very divisive one. Hey, what herb would you be, Becky?
Something like a cumin.
Oh, no. I was thinking mint.
I'd be a mint. Oh, that's nice.
Just like a peppermint leaf.
Yeah, like a common sort of garden variety.
Yeah, just a bit of mint. Someone's, you know.
Run of the mill.
Yeah, in the front yard. People walking past, just grab you, put him in a mojito, you know, that sort of
True.
Thing.
And it's classic, you know, it's lamb. You can have it with lamb. It's like.
Very versatile. Now.
Extremely versatile. But what
but enough
question
about
is,
that.
Becky, your book Acknowledgements is out. What kind of author are you, I think is the best question. Did writing come easily after performing stand-up comedy for so long?
Yeah, it was so much easier to write because you can. I think with stand-up, and Matt would know this too, like you're always having to cut out so much of the context to get to punchlines or get to the funny bit. But so often, like, a story becomes funnier the more you can add in, like the more you can flavour the characters or, like, sort of set things off. And in stand-up, you kind of, like, not when you have silence or whatever, you're just trying to, like, get to this punchline so you can sort of relax. Whereas when you write a book, you can take your time. You can really make a meal of it to get us back to food.
And herbs. So, okay, you get someone approach you to say, hey, we're going to write a book. You're like, all right, I'm going to write somewhat of a memoir, you know, my thoughts, you know, essays from my experiences of life so far. What is the very first story that you knew you were going to tell?
Do you know what? It was this story about this woman I used to nanny for, and she was kind of like, she had this awful husband. Anyway, I didn't think too much about her. Like 10 years went past and she lived really close to my family, and my family's really accident prone. Like in 1 year, my stepmom fell off a scooter and vaginally impaled herself.
What?
And then like 6 months later, a bat attacked her in broad daylight.
What?
Yeah, and then that the same year, my dad split his nutsack open.
What?
Yeah, like they're really accident prone. And anyway, so
episode of Benny Hill, like that doesn't happen to all the people, the same people.
I know, but like they anyway. So like she lives close to my parents, and she was often a bit of a like emergency contact, maybe. And so one day I was at home in Sydney, and I'd been given a weed edible by this comic, and he was like, just take half, they're so strong. And I was like, I'll take the whole thing, because what if it doesn't work on me?
Because I'm different. Like, that's what you're thinking.
Because I'm
seasoned.
I'm a tank.
Exactly. So I took it and like immediately crumbled, like couldn't live, and passed out at 4 p.m. And I woke up, and my family was also on holidays. That's an important part of the story. And so I woke up really confused, still stoned, and I had like 10 missed calls from this woman I used to nanny for. And I was like, oh, like this is awful. My God, like this must be about my family. You know, like she's got to break the news to me or something. Something's happened. I'm like, I can't believe I'm going to find out that like my family's died in some horrific like tragedy and I'm stoned. And I call her and I say like, hey, hello. And she goes, darling, something's happened. And I'm like, oh my God, like I start crying. I'm like, fuck. And she goes, darling, I finally left him. I'm getting a divorce. And I just went, oh, fuck, and like hung up with
her. Wow. Yeah, it's really sweet that she gave you that news, you know.
Yeah.
I know. Like, I mean, so the whole book is all about just people who have, I guess, it's like thank you because it's in some way taught me something or whatever. So that really taught me that if someone tells you to take half of something, just take half.
For sure. Dosage is important.
We went to the same school, Becky. So, you know, were there people at the said school that have influenced you in certain ways as well?
There are. I don't know if I think I did write about State High in one section about, I loved like where we went to school. We had like the best football players because it was all the like boys from Logan and stuff, and like all the private school boys used to taunt us. Like did you ever go to any of the rugby games and all the private school boys like with no chin used to be like, your dad works for my dad.
Oh yeah, yeah, my dad pays for your schooling, all that sort of stuff. Yeah,
like they used
stuff.
To taunt us, and then it was so awesome. Like they would just get demolished by some Samoan dude. It's like such. So that was, I think there's stuff about that, like that kind of. But there's a story about a girl I went to school, the school I went to before I went to your school, Matt. Mm. Who she faked her own death.
Like she Whoa. Like yeah, properly?
She properly faked her own death. And then she was caught like 6 months later ordering a seafood sensation Subway sandwich.
That is that's the worst way to be found out, hey.
I know. Yeah.
Just red and white in between two loaves.
Yeah.
Well, Becky Lucas, we're so stoked about your brand new book. It's called Acknowledgements, a memoir so far. It is available now wherever you get your books. Is it going to be an audio book version?
Yeah, it is, except when I recorded it, I'd had a big weekend.
Oh,
I feel like I'm a bit flat.
Big croaky.
Yeah. So, you know, give it a listen if you want, but I wouldn't.
Well, keep an eye out for it. You can also keep an eye out for Becky on at Becky Lucas on Instagram, or at Becky Lucas _ on Instagram, or go to beckylucas.com.au. Acknowledgements is out now. Hey, Becky, you're an absolute legend. Thank you so much for joining us on Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast, and congrats on finishing your book. It's an incredible feat.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Smell toast. Well, Matt O'Kine, that brings us to an end of another exciting episode of All Day Breakfast. Thanks to Becky Lucas for hanging out with us. Thanks for suggesting some great sounds that we'll be able to slip in to future podcasts. It's going to be the most pleasing oral experience every single episode from now on, so we appreciate it. And other than that, have a very good day. I'm going to ban myself from watching press conferences, you'll be happy to know. So hopefully I'll be...
Okay. I thought you were going to say from using a fake penis next time you have to do a drug test. But you know, you do you. Thank you to our insider for getting in touch with us at matt.n.alex. We really love hearing your suggestions as to, you know, what you'd like to talk about in insiders. If you've got any experience in any job, let us know. And thank you to Marshy for pulling in an excellent effort day in, day out. He's even off air telling us, I've bloody got a VW rain on a VW roof. That's what the car horn was, and you're giving us crap for it. So sorry, Marshy.
Yeah, but he does an incredible job. Best. And we look forward to future podcasts of us sounding really good and all our fumbles and defamatory things being cut out.
I might turn that testimonial into interstitial.
Thanks, Marshy. And thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Listener.